ourselves if there is.
Yeah, and it's funny because what sometimes happens is people want to conflate opposites. They want to say there is no difference. They want to say, well, right isn't always right and wrong isn't always wrong. So everything is either right or wrong. Mm-hmm. Rather than saying, you know, well, which is what I've been exploring, which is this thing like, well, you know, maybe the lines are arbitrary, but they need to be there.
Yeah.
So I explore that a lot in these songs. And I look at other contraries, too. I just sort of got interested. And so I started looking at mind and body and... The whole album was so influenced by working with dancers and things, mm-hmm. and sort of getting stuck in my left brain and trying to find that balance between sort of the rational side and mm-hmm. the intuitive creative. Side and creative side.
Mm-hmm.
It was really a process. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Well, I mean, as I said, I've only got about a minute left, so I've got to just urge everyone to definitely get out to the Ukrainian Hall this Friday. That's 805 East Pender.
And if anyone wants to find out more about me or get in contact or anything, www.joannacs.com. JoannaCS.com.
That's right, Joanna Chapman-Smith. Thank you again for being in here.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. And thanks to everyone out there for tuning in again to another edition of The Arts Report. I will be right back here next week at 5 o'clock. And if you want a weekend arts update, you can tune into the news at about 5:45 on Friday, and I'll let you know what's happening around the city. So thanks again for joining me. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather while it's still not so wet. And I'll see you again next week.
CineWorks Independent Filmmaker Society is excited to present The Soft Revolution, an interactive cinematic installation by Vancouver-based media artists Brian Johnson and Anthony Roberts. A three-channel, vignette-based film, The Soft Revolution's dramatic and often comedic character-driven vignettes based on the Taoist principles of the I Ching show the pivotal experiences of a year in the life of a vibrant, complicated Gulf Islands family. An immersive cinematic experience, The Soft Revolution explodes the frame of traditional cinema by allowing for avenues of immediacy and improvisation formerly unattainable in the media of film. The show opens on January 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Interurban Gallery on 1 East Hastings Street. The artists will be in attendance.
Next Wednesday, January 28th, join Amnesty International for a night of info and entertainment. The evening will highlight local bands and guest speaker Don Wright, the regional coordinator for the Yukon and BC Amnesty International. Entries by donation, with proceeds going to victims of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. If you want to learn more about Amnesty, meet great people, and listen to local musicians, come to the gallery in the sub at 7:30 p.m. next Wednesday. Hope to see you there.
We'll be right back. From Blurt by Jordan Scott. Bacall slinks into hoodoo, the dawn clorts urt, bruised syllabic upon upturned halibut welded to sky curve. We watch in a book toss the yap blip, and in careful clasp to each blurt clug clug the sherbet angles of vowels echolalia. Trash lip lisp smudge July mucus raspberry, inside a toothful juju pearls comma. We'll all meet on the tongue, we'll all meet in the tongue, pick that axe plosive bloat and say, B is for by the mouth's slight erosions. Good evening. You're listening to Audio Text on CITR 101.9. This is your Canadian writing show. Coming up on the show, it's going to be a pretty simple show, but it'll be an interesting one. Next month, February, just next week, starting on Sunday, it's Black History Month, a very important month, you know, for Canada and all over the world. And so I sat down and spoke recently with my friend Kevon Cameron, who's also known as Scruffmouth, and he's the creative director also of the Black Dot Roots and Culture Collective here in Vancouver. And they're doing a whole bunch of events for Black History Month, so we talked a bit about that. He read a poem for me and all that, so we're going to get to that in just a second. But first, just a couple of listings so that you know what's going on in the Vancouver literary world coming up. Tonight, for example, at 5:30 p.m., today is Wednesday, January 28th, Sue Sinclair is going to be reading at the UBC campus in Buchanan 476. She's the award-winning poet of Breaker. She's a poet and author. So if you want to go see her speak, that's at 5:30. Also tonight, Wednesday the 28th, from 7:30 to 9, it's World Poets Night Out. It's every fourth Wednesday of the month. It's International Poetry Readings. And it's going to be at Behind the Scenes Book and Coffee Shop, which is 243 West Broadway. Coming up on January 29th, I believe that's tomorrow, Thursday, 10 to 12 p.m., it's Leaping into Literacy, which is an event that combines literacy, physical health, healthy eating, and all that kind of stuff. You have to register. It is free, but it's at the library at 350 West Georgia, so you can look up the library website to check that out if you want to. This Saturday, there's a show that I plan to be at. I'm hoping to record a bit from it, actually. It's going to be Floetics at Bump and Grind Cafe. It's just a poetry night. It's starting at 5:30. There's going to be an open mic. And then it's $5. You're going to hear the poetic stylings of Magpie Ulysses, Sean McGarrigle, R.C. Wislowski, and Chris Gilpin. So that's at Bump and Grind Cafe, 916 Commercial, on Saturday, the 31st of February of January. Sorry. And then on Sunday, this weekend, Sunday, February 1st at 8 p.m., there's another Thundering Word, which happens every month. It's sort of an open mic night, and they have features as well. And that's happening at Café Montmartre, I believe. And that's featuring the Dead Understudies and the comedy duo Mark Gilliland and Brent Ritchie, so you should check that out for sure if you want to. So coming up right away, there's going to be that interview that I did with Kevon, and then some poetry by Jordan Scott, which you heard a bit of in the beginning. So right away, here's Kevon's poem and a little conversation about that.
So this poem is called Black His Story. From under the griot tree, the groundhog arose, and this is how the story goes. His story has always been pure as snow and clear as rain. Clearly, his story was written, recorded, and remembered to be right and white as he is. His story is not finished. The storytellers continue to diminish our exposure to the gory details that are nonetheless real. Shield yourselves from the sun. Wear sunscreen and all of that shit. Shit story is made up of pointy white hoods telling falsehoods and passing them into law. Shit story is no more than picking a nigga to string up. His story is bullshit in the form of chronological sequence with the realness removed to make him look good, even though his face is still hidden by a pointy white hood. Invisible like the man who would remember soon enough when they let him out of the machine. Invisible like the hand of Big Brother reaching down to smother the songs that we wail or the words that we speak. I was here, but I disappeared. Shit story has left us weak. I am everywhere. I am an impossible existence made possible by the spirit of persistence. I am an impossibility that was eradicated, annihilated, and still I rise from a past that has been vaporized. You heard we quit? No way, bullshit. I told you before, we come back with more hits. I provide right flavor. Our story is misconstrued, infused, confused, abused, and misused by his story. But my story is a mystery when used in place of his story. In this atrocious condition, we concede to the cowardly volition of historical tradition, the imposition being that we were separated, lost, forgotten, and freed somewhere along the way. But since freedom is slavery, we are still subjugated today. So when we rise up and see our dark shadows, we know what is to be done during the 6 weeks of optic white winter that hide us from the sun. Continually, they avert their eyes, waiting for spring to arrive. But seasons are reversed, and sickness will swiftly target the wickedness of power and wealth, and those who are last shall soon be the first. Blackness may be cursed, and hypothermic evil cannot be nursed back to health. And all seasonal synchronicity aside, how can our story be adequately displayed during a month of merely 28 days? Black history? Black his story is an oxymoron, but it's naive if you see, when truth is expensive and ignorance is free.
That's great. So now that we're talking about Black History Month, I know that you're involved with something called the Black Dot Collective. So why don't you just tell me a little bit about what Black Dot is and how you're involved with it?
The Black Dot Roots and Culture Collective is comprised of artists and professionals who are committed to the education, creation, and celebration of the Black experience at home and abroad through our stories that we tell, whether it be visually or poetically or what have you. So it's basically made up of people who I was working with to either put on, you know, a Pan-African slam out of the Vancouver Poetry Slam, or people I was working with to do a short film at Jamaican Pizza Jerk, or just my friends who are kind of concerned with like doing the same things that I want to do, which is basically tell the stories of the Black experience. So it was founded in 2008. I'm the creative director, and so next month, we, in addition to the Pan-African Slam, which will be the second one out of the Vancouver Poetry Slam on Monday, February 9th, that night we'll be featuring Jive Poetic from Brooklyn, New York, and Adeline the Soul Poet from Salt Spring, B.C. We do a Pan-African Forum the day before that, so this year around, it will be February 8th at a Small World Shopping Gallery, which is on 2120 Commercial Drive. It will be at 3 p.m. till 6 p.m. We'll be showing a film, courtesy the Mobilization Against War and Occupation. And we'll have a panel of speakers, including Adrian Swanston, Keela King, Bernard Yangston, and Clementa Apoc. But next month, the big thing that the Black Dot is doing that I'm excited about is the Black History in Film Festival. And so, to give you the key dates for that next month, it will be starting on Wednesday, February 4th at Café du Soleil. The theme will be Black History in BC. We'll be showing a film called Go Do Some Great Thing, a documentary by Anthony Brown, based on the book by Crawford Killian, Go Do Some Great Thing, The Black Pioneers of British Columbia, telling the story of the Black pioneers in BC. which I'll get into that in a moment. We'll also be showing another documentary by Selwyn Jacob called The Road Taken, which is the story of the porters, the sleeping car porters in Canada. And I'm excited about that. And even the story of the Black Pioneers, a lot of people don't even know that story. And this is, again, I think one of the reasons why Black History Month can and should be used to educate, first and foremost. Because once you start telling the stories, some people may realize, oh, you know, I've never heard this story, or I didn't know such a thing. And others may realize that they've been blatantly lied to about what actually took place in history, right? Because the power of history is that you have to know what went on in the past to know what's going to go on with you or with anything in the future, right? So that's why we take our stories seriously. There was an instance this past year in November where the Vancouver Sun had a special section in November, and it was called BC 150 Years. It was like a legacy edition. It was a 32-page special section on the history of BC coming into Confederation, because that's what they were celebrating, 150 years as a part of Canada. And I was interested to see what they had included on the story of the Black Pioneers of BC. Because as I was reading and as I had been informed via the first governor of BC, James Douglas, who was a Black man, invited the Black Pioneers from San Francisco, who were at that time being persecuted by various Black codes being passed in the U.S., to come and settle in the colony of Victoria on Vancouver Island. And although, I'm sorry to get into the history nerdiness right now, but although, you know, the Britain and the U.S. had that informal agreement that they would not go past the 49th parallel, it was only informal. So as soon as, you know, gold was found in the valley, in the Fraser River and whatnot, you know, the Americans came, and James Douglas knew that he needed to have, if it was going to remain still be a British colony, he needed to have some kind of presence, a permanent presence there. So he invited the Black settlers, who I think he probably knew would accept his invitation, because they needed somewhere to go, as opposed to being quickly disrespected or having their land stolen, or even worse, being beaten down because California had supported the laws of slavery. So Black Pioneers came up on April 28th, 1858, on a ship called the Commodore. And, you know, that just puts into motion the story of the Black Pioneers, who were integral to the formation of the province of BC. In addition to that, there was the first militia unit was made up of Black British subjects and Jamaicans that were there to basically, if anything had gone down in the San Juan Islands, there would be a militia force that would be able to combat that unit. That unit was called the Victoria Pioneer Rifle Company formerly, and their nickname was the African Rifles. So these are stories I enjoy, and it lets you know that Black people have contributed to this story of where we are in British Columbia or in Canada, which is empowering, especially if you are a Black person. So when I picked up this paper, I was not shocked. You know, I can't say I wasn't expecting it, but I thought there would be something in there and not just nothing completely. Do you know what I mean? And it wasn't until the evening that Afua Cooper, who is a professor and a prominent Black historian in Canada, she currently holds the women's chair at SFU, called me up and said, "Kevon, did you see the paper this morning?" And I said, and I laughed. I said, "Oh yeah." And she's like, "So you know what I'm talking about?" I'm like, "Oh yeah." She's like, "Well, you know, something must be done. Well, are you going to write a letter?" she says. And this is Afua Cooper, who, like, I don't know if you know Afua Cooper, but I'm like, you know, she asked me, "Am I going to write a letter?" So the only response is, "Yes, I am going to write a letter." But one of the things Afua told me was that when you know you have a responsibility to act on what you know, right? If you're just purely ignorant, then there's not much you can do. You're ignorant. But if you know, as again, knowledge is power, and what do we know about power? If Spider-Man has taught us anything, is that with great power comes great responsibility. And responsibility is the ability to respond. And I have the ability. So the letter I wrote to the writer, the editor, and the person who put it all together, I basically blasted them. I wasn't polite. You know what I mean? I told them so that they would know and how I feel, and that was that. And it resulted in a weekend review front page article called "The Black Pioneer is Integral to BC." So that was like their like makeup attempt, and it was good that they did write a story. It's almost disappointing that, because you know that they know the history and they choose to not include it. And that's what was disappointing. But it was good that they did write a story, and that the story was written in December, as opposed to, you know, waiting till February, for example, which is Black History Month, which is, you know, that token month where you can, like, you know, write your stories and whatnot, right?
Of Marie-Joseph Angélique, who was a slave in Quebec before it was Quebec, back in the day when there were black slaves in Canada. And it's a really important book because it gives a lot of the history that is actually really hard to find, especially in Canada. And it's not a history that you're usually going to see in big spreads in the Vancouver Sun, for sure. And for me, that's something I find fascinating about Black History Month, because the point is that you're supposed to be learning about black history. And there are all these dirty little secrets that Canada seems to not want to talk about, you know. So, I mean, with that in mind, what do you think about Black History Month in that sense? Like, do you think it sort of works? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are, it works however you want it to work. That's, I think, definitely something to be taken advantage of. Do you know what I mean? You want to tell your story, and maybe you live in a place where you're not coming into contact with a lot of black people to tell the stories or black history in the schools or what have you. Then, yeah, like, it's great. So, yeah, take advantage of Black History Month to tell your stories. At the same time, it's a token month. Like, everyone, I think most people realize that. And especially, you know, my poem was essentially about how black history is told in from the perspective of basically, you know, the Western civilization that we live in. So from the perspective of a white man, basically, and it's still in the context of the society that we live in. So what kind of black history can you get? Because if you're actually concerned with telling the real stories, the true stories of black history, then you're going to be actually informing the masses as to what actually happened, like what actually went on. You're going to be revealing the secrets that you don't want to reveal. So I think you just have to take that into consideration whenever you're dealing with, like, you know, Black History Month, what's it not. It was, I think, initially set into motion by Carter G. Woodson, who was just using it as, you know, initially when it was called, I think, Negro History Week, and he's a teacher, he was just using it so that he could bring information into the schools about black history, because it's, again, something that's kept out of the history books and taken out of the common arena, so that we can maintain this, you know, this way of life and not do something else. So knowing that, yeah, sure, use it in the same way. Use it to educate and inform as to what's really going on and our true stories. But at the same time, don't participate in the tokenism and the bullshit, which is like, you don't just find that during Black History Month, but you'll find that anywhere.
You've been talking about stories a lot as you talk about Black History Month and the need to tell your stories. What do you think is specifically important about stories in that sense when we're talking about history, and especially black history, maybe?
Because stories are essentially how we live, right? Everything is a story. So it's programming, if you will, for the human condition. So if we find ourselves in a bad condition, mayhaps it's because we don't know our stories. We don't know how to live another way, in essence, right? For me, particularly, like, my parents are old school, and, you know, I think they
kind of went out of their way to make sure that I was knowledgeable of our roots and culture, as we say in Jamaica, which is why the collective that I founded is called the Black Dot Roots and Culture Collective, right? However you tell those stories, it's usually through creative expression. It might be song, poetry, film, literature. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many ways to tell a story because essentially everything is a story, you know? I think there are plenty of young people around who are quickly becoming fed up with the stories that are being fed to them. Maybe because they sense that they're not truthful, or maybe because they've heard it all before. But at any rate, I think the point of like telling these stories or sharing your stories like with the younger generation so that now they build on that foundation, they know what's possible, which is essentially anything is possible, right? And then they build and it becomes, you know, a positive condition for everyone because they're well informed and knowledgeable about their power, if that makes sense to you.
Well, thanks so much, Kavan, for talking to me today.
No problem. Thank you for letting me talk to you.
My pleasure.
Feeling funky.
1, 2, party people in the place to be.
Funky dope. Funky dope.
1, 2, party people in the place
Rainbow
to be.
Rainbow Groove here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Every Friday night from 9 to 10:30 p.m. Getting you in the mood for the weekend. I'm your host, DJ B-Fat, and I'll present a kaleidoscope of funky grooves for your mind, body, and soul. Tune in to hear everything from underground disco, roller boogie, space funk, rare groove, jazzy house, dub reggae, and anything and everything from Chaka Khan to The Clash. That's Rainbow Groove every Friday night from 9 to 10:30 p.m. here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Crazy fresh, crazy fresh.
Yeah, all we need is some funky dev chow.
So that was an interview with Kavan Cameron, also known as Scruffmouth, a poet, among other things, around the city. And now I'm going to read a little bit of poetry, or at least I'm going to try to read a bit of poetry from Jordan Scott's recent book of poetry, which is called Blurt. I had an interview with him yesterday, which I'm going to be playing in the coming weeks, and it was really fascinating. The book is about stuttering. Jordan grew up with a stutter, and also grew up with poetry and managed to put the two together in this really interesting way, and in a way that sort of combines the ideas of stoppages to speech and articulation with poetry. And I was telling him about how I like reading poetry on this radio show, and like reading poetry in general, and how when I was reading this book, I thought it would be really difficult to try to do. And he said to me that he had actually written this poetry to be the most difficult possible for him to read as a stutterer. So we're going to see how it goes with me as someone without a stutter. We'll see if it can make me stutter. So this is from Jordan Scott's Blurt, which was published in 2008. If you must repeat, blowgun bleat, tip phylobides, masticate equation, word order equals world ardor. In frame, then frame, we rumba smooth across laminate as lamprey weave gorgonian pores. Above us, tunnels splatter night muggy, we repel. Frantic drips to Harzburgite, spelunk, carpal, a soda straw to outwash we. Excess, wine must have gestured, influx, bent knee, humates, wicked belay, rusa, light, plunder, esophagus. We blitz horizon, the petzel ekron sheds its carbon, each trona pinnacle, dust to tonsil, our phlegm spicules boil, saline paces until strata suffocate, and release from tile until corrigib gyres, the burst of hippus, a corneal rictor, box jellyfish, fleck arrhythmic bambuca. In chassis, then exoskeleton, we zongo smooth across marble as eel weave coral hole. Above us, burrows splatter night humid, we parry berserk, trickle to Harzburgites, spelunk digit a soda straw to brackish, we excess, wine could have signaled, influx, warped patella, hamates, wicked crampon, rusa, light, ransack, esophagus. We assault horizon, the adelrid ekron sheds its monoxide, each tufa aspire soot to lymphoid our mucus spicules, bubble saline tempo until strata suffocate from thermoplastic, until vulture pirouettes the shiver of hippus, an epithelium rictor punch charinex, dapple arrhythmic merengue. At some point you mention circumlocution, but my mouth just isn't working today. You say, looks like a pinnacle karst, oolithic karst, a boulder choke of spit scar in a head, and I trek textured and chomp repel lingual and hiss a plankton paprika into the pitch of long words. Some whoop and flounder, hiccup the sandbag of each letter, ravenous for breath's wind tunnel billow. So all fondle the fables that promise. Dribble of spit trapezes seize geometry, phlegm scrum knuckles hum, consonant gobstop corpse and clot. I know it's textile from the typography of your lips, your scrunch and munch, your blistex baboon. How sea pazes snorkel until pfft. Belly flops against H's amoeba rhythm. How, squat in glottal eye, bugles a gorilla orchestra, and see cleats and pickaxes up from lungs, and how, in shame, H teeter totters back into the warm of throat and still larva. A. Rah rah skittles percussion, each squawk box blorf xylophones nougat goo, pancake fold vocal garble lullaby, puka puka chunder, gut bugs obese buzz, chakalaka ziz, chocoholic zest, chinchilla zong, chelastic zook, chainsaw zing, chechen zilch, chug zit chirp sap, nacho flip ch. Chin a mouthful goiter, tongue and canine boing boing until ch ch knockout chipmunk achoo, until ch hush crustacean and opera urchin fable, the chihara has to sing inside the mouth. A trachanter, accordion bellow, bubble jet into your mouth dome, moist timbles, pus kazoo into jaw marrow, and you will chatterbox, blob the barbs of sea with honey, and herd glottal stops out the lips. You will learn to use your mouth. Wow, I'm tired now. That was really hard. And also really cool and really fun. I really do enjoy reading poetry, and that was more of a challenge than I think I've ever encountered before when it comes to the poetry I've read on the radio. So again, that was Jordan Scott. Stay tuned. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be doing a really great interview with him all about the poetics of stuttering, which is fascinating. And just for your information, that this book, Blurt, was published by Coach House Books from Toronto. So that comes to the end of our very short half hour. Thanks so much for listening. Please do send us any requests, questions, comments, whatever you want to say, love letters, I like those too, to audiotextcitr@gmail.com, and we'll be back next week.
So tell me, why is the climate flipped? The truth is black and white like the Nine-O chips. Or the no logo logo used to buy hardcore for Dolo. Now I'm trying to put holes in their barcodes like promos. Should I even know why we spend companies concentrate on a camp like IBM? Ever seen a CEO smile and get folks to sell? Coal burners after oil murders, ghosts in the shell. Hello, what's yellow and red and bushes fellow in bed? You better get the point, like stilettos the head dead. Right, they map out a path that would kill a tourist. The smoke on the water straight out of Philip Morris. Look at Walmart, they thug down the nice. Gone through the sweatshops, run down the prices. All his wrong plans go. They're a bigger public enemy than Flavor Flav working for Monsanto. Don't spend the time until they get the price by. Even I'm selling a lifestyle. Testing the course from precious things to veteran cause. 30 seconds with my message across. Don't spend the time until they get the price by. Even I'm selling a lifestyle. Testing the course from precious things to veteran cause. 30 seconds with my message across. I am a man at odds with companies far from even-handed, but I've even handed out cash for their jeans and hats. It seems and that I contradict quite slightly. Conflict they're wearing orange, blue, and white Nikes. But does it really make a difference since everyone's interest is green paper? Many companies thrive off cheap labor. Like I told this punk to watch his feet, he said, fuck off. Told him
Nike owns Converse, you're unsafe with Chucks on. Now it seems what you wear is a cotton ideology or a homespun philosophy for grown-up autonomy. But you are not alone, like a festival lineup. Your claws to find a tree that they want you to climb up. Not hung up on crystals, but I feel a little better. Spinning cheddar on a used button-up or sweater. I won't say stop buying, cause it isn't realistic. But cop because you wanna make your own damn decisions. Don't spend the time until you get the price bow. Even I'm selling a lifestyle. Testing the cost from freshies, 10th of veteran boss. 30 seconds gets my message across. Don't spend the time until they get the price bow. Even I'm selling a lifestyle. Testing the cost from freshies, 10th of veteran boss. 30 seconds gets my message across. First, you all being watched, so no, I'm not fucking paranoid. A pair of boys with pins to get in lock to your latitude. An attitude to get it real. Smart what you have to do before you let them in. Quite drop for the battery. You your game's on fist, put your names on the list. You're an actor in a play and not changing the script. It's amazing to sit. Craft, you know, magic bullet, have a vote from a tape. You don't get used like a grapefruit product. Placement in your moving pictures. Hatred in your